The following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm going first, why don't you introduce the concept briefly?
What is this one called again?
Well, the show's called One Song Each.
One more time.
Hey, everybody, welcome to One Song Each.
You are the Casey Kasem of our.
Hey, everybody.
Outlet. Didn't he go fucking crazy and was like thrown in hospice and then disappeared and shit?
Yeah, I don't think he went crazy. I think that he went into decline and then his wife like stole him and ran off for a little while. The kids were trying to find him.
They stole Casey Kasem.
He wasn't fit anymore to make his own decisions, or at least that's how it was portrayed, that he had declined so badly. And the wife was basically kidnapping him and running away from him and running away from the kids. But since his wife, it's not really a kidnapping, so it was a whole fucking
super
thing.
Weird. Poor Shaggy. Yeah.
And Robin and all the other freaking voices.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys. Welcome to One Song Each. This is a Rolled Spine podcast where we both just choose a random song without consulting the others and without picking a theme. No themes.
Except for the times when we'll pick a theme.
Well, we'll tell you if we're going to pick.
But generally speaking.
Generally speaking, there is no theme. So these songs will not be connected in any way intentionally. Randomly pulled from our brains. And we play the song for each other and then comment with a story, an anecdote, or just that we like it.
Yeah. Okay.
Or don't like it. Who says you have to like the song you're playing, right?
Yeah.
True.
You can hate it for a particular reason.
I've been elected to go first because y'all don't want me to be a punk ass and be in any way reactive to your songs. But like I said, this is almost like a two-parter, so hopefully it doesn't go too long. The first song you don't actually need to play because we all know the fucking song. My stepsisters are living with me. And so we often will go to the movies together at the Dollar Show. They take me to go see, in 1984, Footloose. And I enjoyed the shit out of Footloose. It was a great fucking, you know, quasi-musical. It's not an actual musical, but it's one of those deals where there's basically like a music video. Video movie where they incorporate songs so heavily into the movie that they might as well be like music videos, except that the actual artists aren't in the videos. And because I enjoyed the movie Footloose, that also made me fixate somewhat on the soundtrack. I had a copy of the soundtrack on cassette, and specifically I fixated on the song Footloose by Kenny Loggins. For some reason, as a kid, I made a personal vow to myself that every time Footloose came on, I would dance. And I was dancing like a little dumbass white boy. I was dancing like fucking Chris Klein. What was the name? Christofferson.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Chris Penn. Because you know Chris Penn was in that movie, right?
Yeah.
You know who Chris Penn is? Chris Penn is Sean Penn's brother, the big hulking guy who's also in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So he's the big dumb redneck who can't fucking dance. Well, I danced like that guy crossed with a spastic.
Got it.
So,
and I've seen his dancing.
No, I wasn't even that good.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's honed his craft through the year.
I was going to say, the pink suit dance was...
It was actually a lavender suit.
Lavender suit.
For my sister's wedding.
Was entrancing.
Well, then I had some slick ass boots too that your sister ended up getting off of me. So...
That's right.
They're always a little too tight. So I vowed to dance to Footloose. And I was young enough to where that seemed like a reasonable thing to decide to do. The problem is Footloose was a really popular song. So it would play in all sorts of inappropriate situations. Like I think I remember one time being in Kmart and Footloose was on, and I'm like, do I really want to dance in the middle of Kmart? I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with this.
Did you do it?
I might have danced a little bit in the Kmart.
That you committed to this fucking promise.
I may have danced a little in Kmart. I remember one time in junior high, for some reason the radio was on, or maybe they played the movie. I don't recall what the exact circumstance was, but Footloose was playing in my goddamn junior high classroom one day. I think it was English class. The degree to which I was willing to commit at that point was tapping my toe and kind of swaying a little bit, so it would be obvious that I was into the song, but it wouldn't be obvious that I had a dance pact with my younger self.
Hashtag dance pact.
The problem was, the older I got, two things. One is Footloose specifically was mocked fairly often in various circles as the cheesy pop song, but also my taste changed. I got older, and even I was like, this isn't that great of a song. I don't really know if I'm willing to commit to Sparkle Motion to this degree. It's not even the best song by Kenny Loggins on the Footloose soundtrack. That would be I'm Free, Heaven Help the Man.
Only get one chance. Another time's a hair. You're what I want. Listen to me. Nothing I want.
That's a pretty damn good song. I love that song, actually. I would still support that song. But I remember, too, even on the DC message boards, I was a Martian Manhunter fan at that point, and there was a Manhunter series that I and several other guys were not happy with, and we were basically like the soccer hooligans constantly spouting how much we didn't like the John Ostrander, Tom Mandrake series, even though I had liked that creative team on several other titles, specifically on Grimjack. So I felt kind of guilty about, you know, being the thug of the message board. And one of the guys that I was thug with, I think his name was TexCap, he was always saying that they were like the Loggins and Messina of comics. And it was supposed to be a diss because I think that the writing team of Loggins and Messina had one hit, Mama Don't Dance and Your Daddy Don't Rock and Roll.
Mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. When evening rolls around and it's time to go to town, where do you go? To rock and roll.
But it's like, yeah, but Kenny Loggins had a pretty damn good catalog of songs, right? I mean, Danger Zone is a cool-ass song. Yeah. I'm really big fan of...
play it every time I get on a plane.
Nobody's Fool is a good tune. You know, from Caddyshack 2 soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
It's a good. He's got a lot of good poppy songs. Kenny Loggins has a pretty solid. If you have a Greatest Hits album, you're gonna like at least half the album. It's solid pop. So I'm just could not commit to Footloose anymore. And I finally decided, okay, I'm ending my pact with myself. I'm not.
How long did the pact go for?
2025.
No,
he's still bound by the pact.
It just ended last year.
Just a few years in the 80s. Honestly,
wait, you went a few years.
I went a few years. Footloose didn't play that often. Okay, I could get away with it for a little while.
So the pact was, if you heard Footloose,
my foot would loose.
So you could, hell again, yeah. You were walking through Kmart, walking through your school, and someone was playing.
I know, but that's junior high is where it's like, okay, I cannot cross this line. I'm already enough of a fucking social misfit without dancing the Footloose in my fucking junior high classroom. So that's kind of was the deal breaker for me with Footloose.
Really? Because honestly, in my school, we wouldn't have fucked with you. We're like, dude, that's a crazy fucker there. He just starts dancing randomly. Like, he thinks this is Greece. Like, it really exists.
Right.
Leave him alone.
So what it happens is, you get into the 90s, and I'm working as a security guard in a car lot.
I remember this.
And life just kind of sucks, you know? I mean, it sucked somewhat less because at least I was working and making some money, and I liked working at night. I've always been a night person. And I was kind of struggling with that, and I don't have any fucking money, you know? I go home. I'm living with my parents again after we'd kind of separated, but they kind of got me the job. We sort of turned working security into a family business because at one point, at various points, me, my stepfather, my mother, and my stepbrother-in-law all worked at the place, which is a whole other story I'll have to tell you about some other time. I'd started going to this one comic shop, and one of the guys there was like a younger guy who was still in high school, and he'd introduced me to a new radio station that launched in town called The Rocket.
I remember that.
The only radio station Ronald Reagan hasn't forgotten.
Oh, no. Damn it.
Just ask him. Rocket 107.
And I loved the fucking Rocket because I didn't get into pop music until 87, really, for the most part. And when I went into pop music, I'd gone from like AM country and 50s and 60s stuff right into the heart of 80s bubblegum pop type stuff. There's top 40 stuff there's on the radio. And so since that stuff was new to me, I wasn't a very discerning listener. And they didn't play any of the cool college type stuff at that point in time on the radio stations I was listening to. So through the Rocket, I was able to listen to all this cool alternative and college music from the 80s, like The Cure and Dramarama and just like all these cool acts. And they also were going a little bit deeper dives into stuff that had gotten popular. At one point, The Offspring got to be big with Come Out and Play. And, you know, that was an okay song. I wasn't, like, won over by it. I liked a number of their other songs better than that one. But they got big enough that they went back into their back catalog. And this station in particular, The Rocket, went into their previous album, Ignition, which was not a hit at all when it came out. They'd started doing what they called a radio-only single, where they didn't release it as any... You know, they didn't try to sell it as a cassette or anything like that. It just got radio play so that you'd be able to feed the beast where people wanted to hear more solid Offspring songs. And the song they chose to do as... in that format was called Kick 'Em While He's Down. And that one you can play right quick.
Okay, Kick 'Em While He's Down. Wait, what am I putting? Kick 'Em While He's Down or The Rocket?
Kick Him.
Oh, Kick Him?
Nobody fucking knows what The Rocket is.
Oh, no, I remember that station, dude. Remember when they turned into 97.9, they did that whole thing where they're like, we're transferring, oh no, and they did the countdown and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that station.
Right, but he's talking about an Offspring song. Why would you search about an obscure radio station in Houston on YouTube?
I thought he was just going nuts with it. We're not supposed to judge, Mac. Douchebag.
Definitely put an eye between... Dude, dude, we gotta, this is not.
And dude, it's hard to fucking spell with this thing.
I know, that's why you must get rid of this. Okay.
You can buy the remote control. Get on Amazon and buy a remote control to go with this case.
Are we, is this the,
there you go.
Kick him, I think it's kick him while he's down, but.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. As long as it plays, yeah. Just do that version. I don't think they ever actually did a legit music video, so that's probably some dumb live bullshit.
Kind of interested with the song. It's a nice commercial. Interesting.
You know that I moved around a lot, you know, from school to school. I was always having to move around because we weren't paying our fucking bills. And so we'd get evicted or we'd move out in the late of night so that they wouldn't get any money out of us and go move someplace else or go live with somebody else or go to move to another state with the expectations that the grass would always be greener on the other side, that kind of bullshit. In 87 was the first time I saw The Breakfast Club. I saw it when we were living in Nevada. Like a lot of people, especially from the 80s, that movie spoke to me. When we saw The Breakfast Club one time with Kitten, what did you call your longtime ex? Pussycat. So we saw it one time with Pussycat, and you were joking that you thought that I was the Ally Sheedy character.
Yeah.
And I said that, no, I was really more of a cross between Anthony Michael Hall's character and Bender, somewhere between those two extremes. And I could see myself in a lot of those characters. When I was working that security, at one point I got fucked over in a pretty major way. You know, I'd be working all these nights, and the job was paying like $4.75 an hour, and I was giving most of that money to my family, supposedly to help them, because we were all kind of working together again and trying to help build each other up. But really all they were doing was fucking stealing from me. And so that's when I was buying like $40 worth of comics a week, because that was the only money I really got to keep. You know, it was that and the food, and then everything else they fucking took, and they'd fucking blow it on dumb shit. My mom would be smoking pot and that kind of dumb crap. My stepfather would be fucking getting drunk and then not going to work. So then I'd pick up his shift and then they'd take my fucking money anyway. And that kind of bullshit. There's all these expectations for the job, and you know, shit got fucked up the job too. And that was fucking pissing me off, because I was the only person working there out of that whole family that was actually doing the fucking job you're supposed to be doing. You know, anyway, I can get to that another time. I was actually doing the job. All these other people were fucking off, and all their fuck ups were coming and landing on my fucking back, because that's the way that shit tends to work. At your jobs, you probably have experienced that shit too. If you're the person who's actually the bulwark, what is it called where you're the one who's like holding the line?
The holding liner.
Okay, we'll go with that. And so, you know, and also, you know, working at night and not having any money and not having any prospects just was frustrating the shit out of me. I was just angry. And so I'm hearing this new music that I never heard before. And of course it's speaking to that anger, because that's what shit like alternative music and college music is about. Instead of being nothing but incessant love songs like you had in the 80s, every fucking song from the 80s that was pop is a love song or a getting your fuck on song. And I wasn't getting any love and I wasn't getting any fuck, and I was just getting fucked. And so I'm listening to this song by The Offspring, and it's before everybody's like, oh God, The Offspring. Blah. Plus the song is from like 91. That's a pretty good album, actually, if you like that kind of pop-hucky kind of sound. And if you listen to the lyrics, one of the things he's talking about is, and we're supposed to all be the same, but why is everybody so lame? Why is it that I'm already fucking down and everybody's still fucking kicking me while my life's already sucking? Which was something I dealt with all through junior high and high school, was I'm fucking poor. I'm fucking new in town. I don't fucking have any money. I don't have good, nice clothes. I'm just struggling to get by, and everybody just keeps fucking with me regardless. And so when I'm hateful toward the world, it's because the world was fucking hateful to me at my most vulnerable place, right? And so I hear this song, I'm in the middle of this fucking parking lot, and I just fucking start dancing in the middle of the fucking night. And it's specifically like Breakfast Club in the fucking auditorium dancing. I'm like,
the actually, montage dance.
Yeah, honestly, the closest would have been Ally Sheedy's character, where she's doing like the kind of kick thing.
Ironically.
You know? Yeah, ironically. And so I'm just like kicking around, and I got this thing where I'm like, you know, do the lariat kind of thing going around. I'm just dancing like nobody's watching, that kind of bullshit. And it just made me feel better. I felt connected to the song. I felt like it spoke to who I was at that point in my life. And so like with the Footloose, I at least bop around to that song when it comes on. I don't necessarily full on dance, but it makes me want to dance. It makes me want to feel good about my life. It makes me like say whatever the fuck's going on in the rest of the world, however shitty everybody fucking is and however lame everybody else is, I'm going to find something that's going to take me away from that shit. Maybe it numbs me. Maybe it just distracts me, but I'm going to find something to pick myself up from this shit after everybody else has knocked my ass down. Kick Him While He's Down became my new Footloose.
And when he's down.
Whatever. You know, you have to pretty much read the lyrics. You can catch bits and pieces of it.
But it doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But yeah, so that's my song.
That's why music is timeless, right? That's what music is about. Music's about...
Well, not Footloose, though. Footloose is a pretty...
No, but you know what I mean. That's the point. Is that not the point of music?
Yeah,
I mean, ideally. I think that's what the point of music is to put yourself into the song and get the hell out of the real world for a second. You know what I mean? So I think that's appropriate. It's a bizarre connection of Footloose and The Offspring, but...
I took you on a journey.
Yeah, yes.
Although they're both shitty pop, so I guess they are connected. Just kidding. No, very nice story.
Well, hold on. I want to go next because I swear to God, there is no way I knew what story. I was typing my song before you even, as soon as your song was over.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you said all this now makes me feel like shit, the story I was going to go with. Because I've known you, Frank, what, 20 years?
Just about now, yeah.
Okay, so my story, we're going to start the song first because this song literally froze a moment in time for me that we hung out, and I hear the song every time and I'm transported to that day. Even when I was thinking about what to think of and I thought that was a song, I started laughing to myself because it's one of the few moments that Frank makes me laugh uncontrollably. It's the funniest fucked up thing, and I feel bad now because it's a Frank story. It's a me and Frank story. So I'm gonna play the song real quick.
Okay, is it this one that we're looking at right now?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's a good one. We all know this song. I don't know if you need to play it, but
I do.
Why the hell not?
I do, because it's going to take me back to the story.
I haven't seen the video very often, if at all, so...
It's detachable. This comes in handy a lot of the time. I can leave it home when I think it's going to get me in trouble. Or I can rent it out when I don't need it. But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it. First I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it. So I called up the place where the party was. They hadn't seen it either. I asked them to check the medicine cabinet, because for some reason I leave it there sometimes, but not this time. So I told them if it pops up to let me know.
I'm sure you almost have an idea what story I'm going with, Frank.
I don't remember. Really? Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. We were in our early 20s, and we decided to go on a trip. So it was you, me, and Pussycat decided to go to New Braunfels.
Okay.
Because I wanted to visit, because some of my family comes from New Braunfels. So as we're driving up there, I remember I'm in the front, Pussycat's next to me, you're in the back, and we would hit this radio station called Bob, was it? It was like a weird mix station. Like, they played all kinds of weird music. And I remember this song came on, and you're like, hey, yeah, this is so-and-so. I had never heard the song before, so me and Pussycat got quiet.
Detachable Penis by King Missile
came on, and we started listening to the song, and I'm like, huh. So I'm listening to the song, and you know, I thought it was funny, she thought it was funny, and you're kind of back there doing your little thing. And so we get to New Braunfels.
Well, before you continue, just to point out too, this song, I don't know if it ever got radio play in town, but my brother was always ahead of me when it came to music, because he had cable television and I didn't, and he would watch things like 120 minutes, which of course, just seeing that on the video we watched is like, just already flashes all kinds of and memories of life in the early 90s in my mind. But he picked up that album, and we used to listen to that one quite a bit. So I have this strong association with the early 90s and listening to that album over and over again. Okay. Well, the cassette, actually. We had it on cassette.
I always remember, we get to New Braunfels. We get to the hotel. We checked in. You had your own room. We had our own room. And we were kind of planning what we were going to do that night. There was a little bit of mix-up. My cousins knew we were in town, but they only had my room number. Frank had his own room. So Frank decided he wanted to go out. He wanted to go see the town. And you decided that you were going to go get some trim.
Well, I wasn't that confident, you know.
But the hunt was on for trim. And I didn't know he got dressed up and he took off. So me and Pussycat stayed.
I thought I was dressed okay when we went
out
there.
When you say looking for trim, are you talking about Puss-gina?
Absolutely. The okay. great white whale, his bane of existence.
Ideally not a great white whale.
He was Ahab to vagina.
A great white whale is probably what you were going to get. But.
So Frank decides to vanish. I didn't know where he went. And this is before cell phones or pagers.
No, there were cell phones. I just didn't have a cell phone.
So we go out. So
it wasn't before pagers, for God's sake.
Well, we didn't have pagers.
But, I mean, so just because you didn't have pagers doesn't mean it was... No. This was before telegraphs, because we didn't have telegraphs.
The thing about New Braunfels is it's really weird. Most of the town shuts down like 9:30. There's only a small part of the town that's where all the college kids go to drink. So my cousins called us to go party with them. So I tried to get a hold of Frank, but he'd already taken off.
Well, did y'all drop me off at this club?
No, you left. Yeah. No. You walked over there.
And I really walked
over there? Yeah, because I remember I was trying to tell you if you had
stayed.
So
that probably didn't help either, because I was probably walking around there all sweaty and shit. So that was a dumb part to begin with. No, I didn't walk. I think I got dropped off by a cab.
Okay, so you took a cab.
Uber, as the kids say today.
So definitely was no Uber then. Wow.
No, sir.
Well, hold on. I'm at my story. We fooled around, and I remember her big joke is, I wish your penis was detachable so I can take it with me everywhere. And so we joked about that. Mm-hmm. We got dressed, and then we ended up going.
Well, you
out.
Forgot the part where you didn't have any condoms and you tried to borrow condoms from me. I had normal size condoms and you needed something bigger than that.
Yes.
And so you guys...
Hey, welcome to the Marvel Superheroes podcast.
I did forget that part of the story. I wasn't going to bring it up, but yes, I had to go buy condoms because the ones he gave me were too small. I think I broke it.
Yeah. Pussycat took it as a sort of a badge of honor that you couldn't fit in a normal size condom.
She thought it was funny. So
there is no way any of this shit is going to make this podcast. There's no way, right?
I'm the one editing it so far.
Really?
Yeah, getting to the podcast. Yeah.
You're going to edit this or what?
We're going to talk about Mr. Fix-It's dick size.
This is the second recording we've done of discussing his dick size, but this is apparently the one we're going to go with since he made a story out of it.
Let's go for it.
But the next day, I'm talking to Mr. Fix-It, and he and his ex had wanted to enjoy the hotel room, and so he'd asked me if I had any condoms. I gave some to him. They kept breaking, and they were all too small for his Coke can-sized cock, and so they were just amazed at how normal condoms would work on his ass.
Well, that's besides that part. But my
cousin, of space and time, if you could take all that out.
I'm just saying, because we had Freebirds earlier, and it reminded me of that.
Shut up, dude.
Oh, it's a monster. But dude, the funny part was, so my cousins came back.
You had the hybrid, he had the monster.
My cousins came back in my room and they're like my cousin who was a lesbian at the time came by and said,
"Don't make flautas at Freebird,
stop,
man.
Stop."
I gotta finish the story, dude.
That'll make taquitos.
My cousin got up. Oh, you squint like a woman.
That was the best self-diss I've ever heard in my entire life.
My lesbian cousin came over to take us to go out and asked, "Where's your cute little friend? We might meet some girls tonight." So I called his room like 20 times. No answer. I didn't know what room he was in. So we ended up going to a bar. They had like an Irish pub down there. And we partied. There's like a bar full of women, dude, all drunk. And we're having a good time. I'm there with Sailor Moon. I was just thinking, well, I guess we'll see him tomorrow. New Braunfels is a very strange town, especially in the early 90s, where it all shuts down at what, about 10 o'clock?
Yeah. So they rolled up the fucking streets,
So the problem was, though, where he was at shuts down. Downtown, where all the college kids would hang out, that bar would stay open. So that's where my cousin took us. Yeah.
Well, what's worse, too, is it was like a kicker bar, and literally, I got there a little before 10, I think, and I had time to go once around the bar, and then, okay, we're closing now. And so I just got there, basically. So I'm just, okay, I'm just going to sit here and watch what comes out.
Oh, That's not even the funny part yet. So wait.
Hold on. I'm going to sit here and watch what comes out. Oh, man.
What came out was kickers with their, as couples, getting into pickup trucks and driving away, leaving my sorry ass on the side.
Picture Frank, 1990s Frank, sitting out there in a baggy shirt with some nice jeans.
Well, no, it's probably like one of those sateen type shirts with all like shiny and shit.
And he's just waiting for something to stumble out of the park. Make a bad decision. Hold on, you gotta kill me. So, can I tell it, Frank?
Go for it.
So, from what I was told, so we went out partying, me and Pussycat, we drank with my cousins, we come home.
Shit that I should have been doing if I had, but because my fucking luck, of course, that's not the way it goes.
We went left, he definitely went right on his side. So, we went partying, we had a good time. We actually had a really good time. And I remember trying to get a hold of him, but I was like, I don't know where he's at. He just vanished. For all I know, he's dead in the cornfield. So, we left it at that. And Pussycat was a little upset at me because she's like, well, we should go find him. Like, we're at a bar already. We're already drinking. Like, let's just stay as long as we can. Go back to the hotel room. And it was the next day we come back and I see Frank and he's hobbling. I said, what happened, man? You said you went to a bar. You were kind of talking.
It was like, all redneck. Like a redneck bar. And like nobody was even looking at me and I didn't belong there at all. I still didn't have much money at that point in my life. I'd already spent money on the cab. I knew I wasn't really that far from the hotel. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to walk back. But yeah, so I'm hanging out waiting to see if anybody's going to take pity on me or show an interest in me. Nobody fucking did. So I'm trying to walk home and I don't want to go through like there's like a something to do with a freeway where I didn't have to deal with.
Where we're at.
So I tried to go over like one of those side rail things and I didn't realize this steep drop on the other side of it and I just like fucking fall and land hard on the other side of this fucking thing. Like, it's so dark I couldn't see the bottom out.
He told me, he goes, I always remember this. He goes, I looked over and I thought I saw the ground. So I jumped. And I said, where the fuck would you jump if you couldn't see the ground? He goes, but I thought I saw the ground. Oh my God, I laughed so dead. I just picture him going,
I'm totally picturing, like, you know, because he always, Frank's a boot guy. He likes the.
Yeah, and I was wearing boots that night. Yeah. So I'm picturing Italian boots with the
zipper on the side.
You know,
like in the old cheesy sketch comedies or whatever, and someone would go over a bridge and you'd see the actor start to go and they'd cut to under the bridge and it's like one of those mannequins. One of those limp mannequins with those boots on, dude, just falling all the way down.
Oh my God. But it was limping bad, dude. And he's just like, I thought I saw the ground, so I jumped.
I land hard and rough in boots, and so I fuck up my ankle.
In your sateen shirt?
My sateen shirt.
I'm picturing the end of The Princess Bride where they're dropping them all out
That's
of the
exactly.
thing and they're time, sort of just floating
I
in air.
I told Frank, every time I just imagine him going, he never hits the bottom.
It's like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey where they're like, So I managed to hobble my way over to like an Applebee's and I'm kind of hurting.
Oh God,
get out of here, dude. Applebee's in San Marcos, dude.
You couldn't make this shit up, dude. It's so insane.
And I'm sitting at the Applebee's bar. And of course, the fucking Applebee's is about to close, too. But the barista gives me a pity Dr. Pepper.
Yes, money.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but she might have actually been flirting with me. But I was so, like, down on myself, I didn't even realize it at the time. And so I finally make it back to the hotel room and try to masturbate to cable that's been scrambled. So it's all, like, fucking skipping and shit. There's, like, random pit of ass showing up and this and that.
When he told me what had happened that night, I laughed so hard that Pussycat was extremely angry with me because I think I laughed worse than I did right now because I think I was literally going to pass out.
All red faced
into
shit,
the
yeah.
room and he looked like a sad puppy dog. He was so sad. I was like, dude, if you had just waited 10 minutes, you would have hung out with us. We would have been fine. But he was on the prowl. He had a room all to himself.
Yeah, sure did. All to myself the whole night. Me and a tub full of hot water trying to deal with that jacked up body of mine after all that shit I went through. So yeah,
man. That shit was too fun. That was our little old brother we're at that story. And I mean, that was the funniest shit.
It's like old brother without our mix with like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. Large Marge sent you.
Large. Marlard. Tell him Marlard, Marge.
Man, why did you jump if you couldn't see the ground? You could. You
I think he
you
just wanted to go, dude. He was so fucking pissed.
He was like, either there is ground or there isn't ground.
I just, right, at this point, it's like, yeah.
I just remember saying, why did you jump? I thought I saw the ground.
No, so wait.
No, I remember correctly, it actually was. It was dark, and the darkness looked like the grassy.
How far of a drop was it, you know? Would you say?
I didn't.
Every time it tells a story, it gets 5 feet farther.
Yeah. I didn't even remember.
Was there like, was there air? Up. Like when you jumped and you were like.
There was definitely air, though. Yeah, there was definitely air. Yeah.
There was a minute. There was like that second where you had.
There's the Wile E. Coyote moment where it's like, oh shit. That's not a decline of grass. No. Thump.
Yeah, you never wanted it. That's when you know it's a.
And then the boulder fell on me.
The drop is officially far when there's the Wile E. Coyote moment.
Right.
There's that pause and you still haven't hit the ground yet. And then
that's such a great moment.
Takes hold, yeah.
What, it was like, did you get jumped, man? What happened, dude? Did you? I fell off an overpass.
So
I stepped off an overpass.
So I left
into the dark abyss.
Bad because Frank just told us this touching story about Footloose and people abusing him and laughing at him. I'm like, oh god, why did I pick this song? I've already started the wheels rolling on this one.
But that establishes you've got to take ownership. If your life sucks, at least half the problem is you. And clearly, given the story, half the fucking problem was my fucking dumbass and my poor life decisions. So,
I remember telling you, well, hold on, my cousin will call us a little bit. And you're like, no, I want to, because you wanted to get out there quick.
Well, I figured, well, not just that, but yeah, I was afraid they were going to close up on me and I wanted to have a chance to go out to a club. But also, you know, you're, oh, well, let's go with my cousin. It's like, well, I've gone to enough like family things with you. We're hanging out at Thanksgiving dinner and shit. It's like, that's not what
he
I'm
didn't know which
for.
Cousins I was talking about, which were all the young college kids.
Right. And I could have been at the young college club. And yeah, I totally fucked myself.
So you ended up drinking a Dr. Pepper at an Applebee's.
Yeah.
A
pity pepper.
I always pictured Frank like crawling out of a ditch covered in mud, hair in his head, grass in his hair.
It was
mud.
Grass. It was high grass.
I almost picture that scene from the Blues Brothers when John Belushi and them are coming out of the
sewer.
The sewer.
After
and they're all
Carrie
covered in
Fisher's
mud.
Oh, you
their eyes. Or like, I always pictured Frank like that. And that story brings me such joy every time I hear her say it. So sorry, Frank.
You got to see the upside of these things.
And I swear to you, dude, literally when you were talking your story, I was like, And I started typing it. And when you got to the end, how everyone was using, I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. And I'm like, can I change it? Maybe I should change it. But I'm like, well, it's not that bad of a story. But then I started forgetting a lot of the parts you remember.
But again, it's like I said, if I did it to me, it's funny and it's fine. You know, and plus I consistently forget that story. You're the one who remembers it because you're the one who got the laugh out of it.
I just, to the day I die, will remember you standing in the doorway and you're leaning against the door because you hurt your foot.
Yeah.
And you tell me the story of how you jumped over the, and I'm just sitting there. And I know what those overpasses look like. Because all it is when you look, you can see the top of the grass, but the grass is really tall. So
right, really
and it's just
fucking
a
tall.
Hill. So I know he dropped a good 5-6 feet. It wasn't like 2 or 3 feet. He dropped a good 6, 5, 6, 7 feet straight down into a fucking hole. And out there, but at the time was before Schlitterbahn and stuff. So there wasn't a lot of traffic. So I'm assuming there wasn't a lot of traffic when you did it.
No. That town was fucking dead.
So he's out there by himself, dude, wounded in, oh man. So I hate to laugh at it, but I just, dude. So every time I hear this fucking song, that story runs through my head super quick.
I'm just surprised it took you that long in your life to hear that song.
Yeah, I'd never heard it up to that point. Well, yeah. I mean, I listened to punk.
Well, you had like satellite radio at that time, right?
No.
That's how you got it?
No.
Was that
No. Dude.
Satellite radio didn't end.
Too early?
No, okay. No, it might have existed, but you would have had to have like the super expensive aftermarket radios.
Dude, we're talking, when we went, it was in the early 90s, and the only reason I remember is there was a radio station.
Dude, I didn't know you in the early
90s. It was in the early 90s, dude.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't even meet you until like late 96 or even 97.
No, it was earlier than that.
No.
You sure?
Unless the beginning of the story is we found a time machine and that's not how it happened.
Because I keep thinking it was like,
when did Detachable Penis come out?
I think it was like 92, 91, 92.
Internet save us.
So I guess we did go, about 96, 97 then? Because I had known you for a short time.
It took you a little while to warm me though. You didn't immediately warm to me. So it was probably more like 98 or 99.
You think so? Maybe 96, dude. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was like 96.
92.
Yeah.
That's when,
I think.
And by the way, my brother's favorite song on that album was Martin Scorsese, which says a lot about him. Yeah. You remember that one?
Martin,
he makes the best fucking films. Yeah. He makes the best fucking films. If I see him, I'm going to fucking chew his nose off. I'm going to twist his head all the fuck away around and tell
like
him,
my least
I love your movies.
Album.
Yeah, well, it's very aggressive, and that's my brother.
My favorite
so.
Is this and Jesus So Cool.
Yeah, he loved Jesus So Cool, and I'm not a big fan of that one.
Jesus was way cool. Everybody liked Jesus. Everybody wanted to hang out with him. Anything he wanted to do, he did. He turned water into wine. And if he wanted to, he could have turned weed into marijuana, or sugar into cocaine, or vitamin pills into amphetamines.
I like that one. So that's my story.
I prefer the one about the still in the truck full of cake.
So then I got this idea about driving a cheesecake truck, because I figured at the end of the day, I could take some of the leftover cheesecakes home, and I love cheesecake. So I went to the Cheesecake Company, and they asked me if I could drive a truck, and I said yes, and they said, you're hired. So the next day, I got in the truck with all the cheesecakes, and I drove about a block, and I just had to have a cheesecake. So I pulled over and opened the truck, and I got a cheesecake, and I also took one for later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The kids. The evil kids.
That's oh, the evil children, which is another one my brother liked out a lot, too. But I really dug the evil children.
That was more
as well.
The visual that they portray or that. Well,
sonically, it was very cool. It was like a little horror story. So.
The very evil children took the dog out to play in the park. Then they took him home and refused to set him on fire.
Yeah. So, but that's
with
my,
a twist.
My Frank-related story that just happened to...
I don't have a Frank-related one.
Well, we're not going for a...
Now I feel like it should be a shitty Frank story theme.
Yeah, because apparently it's also Frank's as in detachable penis, so it's a double entendre as well. So maybe you need a double entendre song.
Beans and Frank... I don't have one of those.
Okay, smack your story.
I have another Frank story. I don't have a song that goes with it.
No, you have to have a song. The whole point is it has...
It's also detachable penis.
For all I know...
No, my song is also detachable penis.
No, that's not how it works.
Yes.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yes, and the other problem, funny story.
But the problem is too is for all I know you recorded that funny story because I'm pretty sure he told that story during that other recording session.
Yeah, but we're not going to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, okay, no, we're going
here's
to.
Mine. Okay, here's mine.
But don't do a me story.
It's not about you. Oh, it's not always about you, dude.
Thank
Please
you.
Calm
good.
Down.
That's what I'm
Please
aiming for.
Please calm down.
Yes,
you're trying to make this. You're trying to use reverse psychology for me to make this about you. No. I'm not going to make it about you.
It is about a song too, right?
It is about a song.
Okay, good. Let's go.
Okay, early '90s. My sister has a tape, kids. This was before MP3s and CDs and whatnot.
Well, the same rules of VHS versus DVD apply with cassette tapes. You could stop your cassette tape, and 15 years later, it'll still be in the same place where you left it.
Correct. And it was of Megadeth's So Far, So Good, So What, which is one of their not very popular albums. They got big with their next album, Peace Sells, but Who's Buying That was their big one. So Far, So Good, So What was the one right before it. Their second album. It's a freaking amazing masterpiece. It's super, super... It's not super low budget. It's a higher budget than their first album. Anyway, doesn't matter. There was a song, so I listened to this tape, and the cover of it is Vic Rattlehead, their mascot.
Their version of Eddie.
Right, and he's in, like, full camo, like, tactical gear, but it's like, I don't know if they got a model of it. It's not artwork. It's cool looking, and he's got, like, night vision goggles on. It's an awesome looking cover, so that was kind of why I grabbed that tape. I'm like, whoa, this looks freaking awesome, and I listened to it, and there was one song that always tripped me out. It's called Hook in Mouth, and it's basically a song about this being that sort of controls everything. He's altering all facts and figures and things like that. Here, I'll tell you some of the lyrics so you can kind of see what I'm saying. So when I was a kid hearing this, there's this one line that says, he rewrites every story, every poem that ever was, eliminates incompetence and those who break the laws, follow the instructions of the new ways, evil book of rules, replacing rights with wrongs, the files, records, and the schools. And I'm just like, what the hell is this song about? Just because I didn't know what the hell it was talking about. Here, play the song.
Yeah.
when I was a kid, I didn't get the song. Because, you know, there's some lyrics in there that you can make out about altering facts and figures. He rewrites every story, every poem that ever was. Then the chorus is, F is for fighting, R is for red, ancestors' blood and battles they shed. E, we elect them. E, we eject them in the land of the free and the home of the brave. D, for your dying. O, your overture. M, they will cover your grave with manure. That spells out freedom, and it's nothing to me as long as there's a PMRC. And I was like, what the fuck is PMRC? PMRC was the, what the hell did PMRC stand for, people?
That's like the parents.
Yeah. It was Parents Music Resource Center, which was Tipper Gore's war against video games and music and everything like that, which I think Danzig's Mother was another song about the PMRC.
Is really, it? Mother?
I think Mother is about the PMR. Yeah, tell your children not to hold my hand. Right.
Oh yeah.
Heavy metal music to me, like, it was just, I don't know. I liked heavy metal, but I didn't understand what the hell they were talking about. Usually they're talking about fucking monsters and, you know,
Dio baby.
Crazy.
It's either that like prog rock leftover fantasy bullshit.
Right.
Or it's AC/DC, whatever song is about fucking.
About fucking, whether you're fucking in hell or fucking on a motorcycle,
which is also what
the
every
bells or whatever.
And that's what every Motley Crue song is about. That's what every Poison song is about, just not as overtly.
But even then, like, you know, or they're all about death or whatever, you know what I mean? That's what it is. Where I was, Megadeth's a little bit different, where they get into politics and shit like that. And I was like, holy shit, this song is literally going straight at Tipper Gore and the PMRC, to where he actually says, as long as there's a PMRC, this is what freedom stands for. And that's where the song wraps up. What do you call it? Put your hand right up my shirt, pull the strings and make me work, jaws will part, words fall out like a fish with hook in mouth. And I was like, holy shit. Like, so when I heard it the first time when I was a kid, I was thinking he's just talking about some master puppeteer who's, you know, just whatever, you know, just some shitty imagery.
For all you know, he's singing about Freddy Krueger and the Dream Warrior.
Exactly. Or the freaking puppet master, some, you know, shitty thing like that. And then, you know, as I've got older, and I was like, wait a second, he's talking, what the hell is a PMRC? And then you start reading about it, and it was literally all that was, this came out in 1988. I think the PMRC was founded in like the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. So he was literally like just flat out giving a middle finger.
Well,
and
I think they're
the naming
ones...
the organization. It wasn't even like imagery. He was naming the organization by name, which I thought was just super freaking rad.
Yeah.
That's fucking metal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they're the ones who got the parental warning started, too, if I recall correctly. That's now like, you know, that's still that same icon is on every album
to this day.
Decades later.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
We're correct.
And also what's funny is around that time period, like the late 80s, one of the real cheap jack independent publishers, maybe the Revolutionary or something, they actually put out Tipper Gore comics where it was extra gory horror stories in the Tales from the Crypt mold dedicated to her.
Wow.
And it's, of course, Al Gore's wife, too.
Yeah.
Inventor of the internet. Anyway, so that song, I don't know why that was the song on that album. It's the best song on the album, but I always listened to that song when I was a kid.
Well, when did you become aware of the political portion of the song?
I don't know. Probably whenever I had access to actually start doing research into what the hell PMRC.
Well, like, did the cassette tape have lyrics in it, or?
It did, but it's abbreviated PMRC.
Okay.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, you wouldn't have known what the hell that was. You're too young. Yeah.
And let me see. When did I get this tape? 90-ish? But I would have been way too young to even grasp. But again, the imagery of the song is already kind of creepy. And then it's just sort of a testament to how different I think Megadeth is from a lot of these other thrash albums. Let's see how much satanic imagery we can, you know, let's try and freak people out. Whereas he wasn't trying to freak people out or shock people. There's no shtick here.
He's saying, fuck you,
PMRC, for trying to come in here and put labels on our music and tell us what to do and what we can and can't sing about. So I've loved the shit out of that song. Love the shit. I still think that it's relevant, although maybe not. I don't think the PMRC exists anymore.
It wouldn't shock me if they did.
But I think traces of it still do exist.
Its legacy exists.
Legacy. Excellent word, sir. Thank you very much. Anyway, that song's metal as fuck, and I like it. People, go listen to that shit.
Well, and that in history is cyclical. I mean, there's the stuff we're dealing with right now, I never thought we'd have to deal with again. You think that something's dead and gone, and then it comes creeping back up again. Censorship always rears its ugly head because there's always some part of entertainment that's going to be the scapegoat for bad stuff happening.
I don't know if ironically, unironically, I don't know how this would be. A lot of Megadeth songs, I'm going to keep touting my band here, folks. Fuck Metallica, assholes. Because he sings about real fucking shit. Back in the corner, he has a song called Foreclosure of a Dream about a housing crisis and how right. that's the American dream. We had the housing bubble collapse, and that was mm-hmm. one of the first songs I thought of. Well, Foreclosure of a Dream came out in 1994, but we have the housing bubble in the mid-2000s, and I'm like, holy shit, this stuff's real. Symphony of Destruction.
Thomas.
Symphony of Destruction, just like yeah. the Pied Piper led rats through the street. As soon as Trump got elected, everybody's like, fucking Dave Mustaine called this shit. You take a mortal man, you put him in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You treat him like a god.
Watch him become a god. Watch people's heads a roll, and it's yeah. like, holy shit, that's fucking Donald Trump. They're like, dude, you called it. It's it anyway, so...
Because demagogues use the same fucking techniques every time they rear their ugly heads. History repeats itself, sadly, unfortunately, and if you just look back in time, you can predict the future because of that.
We're doomed.
Well, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. Music. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Well, since we're ending this on a song.
It transcends though. Because it's not just romantic slop or onanistic bullshit. It's real shit that's relevant to the world, that speaks to you and makes you recognize where you're at in history, where you're at in the culture.
To me, it seems like almost like the music he was writing, he not foresee this, but you can see, you know, in the far distance that these were issues and problems that were maybe at the time small, but were growing.
Well, it was pretty big at the time.
But the problems that he was writing about, saw them as these small problems that maybe we didn't see, and
it could have been a regional thing. He might have been talking about foreclosures in some part of California or some shit,
right?
And then all of a sudden, the entire nation gets enveloped in this stuff.
But I think sometimes they write a song, the Sympathy Destruction. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, holy shit! I never thought about it, dude. It just blew me away right now.
Yeah, and the video for it's pretty good too. And then there's another song of his that also when Trump was elected, I thought of off of Rest in Peace, the title track Rest in Peace Polaris, and the song is basically written from the perspective of an atomic bomb being dropped on a city. And the final line of the song is eradication of Earth population loves Polaris. So it's like a split sentence. It's eradication of / Earth population. It's eradication of Earth's population, but it's also Earth's population loves Polaris. Like that was another Trump, like, oh, we love him, but it's you're loving what's going to destroy the country.
You. right
it's the irony of you worship the bomb, but the bomb's what's going to kill everybody. We must Holy have nukes. Shit. The nukes are what kill the planet.
You've connected Megadeth to Donald Trump to Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Excellent work.
Yes. In fact, and for all I know, he was inspired by he has weird inspirations. Yeah. Freaking crazy shit.
Well, there was a lot of parallels between him and Barry Goldwater. That's why everybody thought it was going to be a blowout, because Barry Goldwater was destroyed by Lyndon Baines Johnson, and that's not what happened.
I don't know. I like music I got no problem with like Slayer. I love Slayer. I love me some Slayer. Slayer's not really deep music, right?
That's gym music to me, dude. If I'm going to go work out, you put on some Slayer and you're ready to just...
And honestly, none of Metallica's music have I ever felt had more than one or two dimensions to it.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just freaking singing about the same shit that's been sung in heavy metal for years and years and years. Where I've always felt that Megadeth took it a step further. Where they got political. There's just more thought, more real shit.
That's like Public Enemy. Public Enemy took the music in a political way.
Right, where you're not saying a hippie hop with a hip, like freaking
you're not talking about your watch or your car or the girls. They talked about social injustices and things like that still resonate today. So
what happens when we rap about like the actual world and people are like, what? But that's not a house party, right? Like, you're supposed to rap about house parties. And they're like, no, we're gonna make music about what's happening in the world right now.
But like songs like that and what make it, they're relevant right now, and it's just that's kind of freaky to think that they did it so long ago. And
right, whereas like
you're not going to go back to Heavy D or Kid and Play and be like, yeah, that really speaks to this moment in time. It's like no,
that stuff gets serious. It gets dated. Not that there aren't some parts of Public Enemy that are dated, but at least the lyrical material is not. It's not,
dude. I heard there was a rally and they were playing Fight the Power, and I was like, oh my god, I haven't heard that song since Jesus.
Relevant.
Now that we're ending on a Debbie Downer moment.
Sorry guys, I didn't have any stories about Frank.
I know, there's no funny Frank moment in here unless you're gonna like smack him with a Megadeth.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to American Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem, and this is our weekly countdown of the 40 best. We've got three debut records in the survey this week and a brand new number one.
100 Days Sage, Ascani Sun, Dr. Ange, Bat at Shapirak, A Beardo Talks Film, Ali Bats, Avatar of the Green, Bone Dragon Comics, Brody's Kitchen, Bronze Age Babies, Cash Flag, Charlton Hero, Chris Sheehan, The Cinebud Podcast, Comic Book Vault, David Golding Studios, Dental Marketing, Dragons, Sexy Robots and Adventures Podcast, Dr. G Nerdologist, FKA Jason, Ice and the Face, Idiots Without Credibility Podcast, Jake and Tom Conquer Podcast, James Hudson, Joe Crawford, Justice's First Dawn, Keith G. Baker, Kevin Dodgy, Mark James, Max Romero, The Namor Submariner Podcast, Pow Science, Randy Caldwell, Resurrections, An Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Ruth Sutherland, Ryan Daly, John Michael Ortega, Siskoid, Trekker Talk, and WhenItWasCool.com. Pod Dylan, let us know to drop the needle. Mark James sent a humorous gift. Keith G. Baker noted early on in the Powers comic, when it was good, whenever the villain Johnny Royale showed up, I'd have this beastie song in my noggin. And our last caller, Ange, finally listened to this first two episodes of this new show, and I love it. Music has been a big part of my life, so I love these stories and songs. My music tastes are all over the map, from 80s sad alternative, my go-to stuff, to 70s pop, youngest of five kids influenced by Sibs, and big band Sinatra, dad's music, Italian family, so I get it all. Heck, this reminded me of my time as a DJ at my college's radio station. Anyway, can't wait to hear more, and if you need a guest, you know where to find me.
One Song Each is a Rolled Spine podcast. This is a not-for-profit fan production. Any copyrighted materials used is believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Please leave your comments and criticisms on our website. We especially encourage participation on this show. Feel free to call in and leave a request. Maybe you'll even get featured on the show. We thank you for your rapt attention.
We're rolling! Gonna look. Oh, that's me. She's gotta take off a few pounds.
Right.
What are you, blind? Just keep looking. What I say.